something on it. Our Heavenly Father, we do pray that Your Spirit may be at work in us in this hour. We're grateful for Your gospel, for those who preached it long ago and continue to minister it today. And may it be of joy to us to receive it. And may it move us, Father, to proclaim You, whether it's we're talking about our profession of faith, our praise of You from Lord's Day to Lord's Day, or our calling to serve You gratefully from day to day. May You help us to that end. May we receive that kind of blessing from You and from Your Word. We ask for this in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to be taking a look a moment this morning at Galatians chapter 1, and then also at in the Heidelberg Catechism, which you find in the back of your blue hymnals, Lord's Day 5 and 6. Again, if you're visiting with us, our calling within our federation is always to preach, at least typically or ordinarily, once a service for Lord's Day on the confessions that we hold. And so we're working our way through one of those, and that's the Heidelberg Catechism. And we're looking at Lord's Day 5 and 6 today, which fits very well given our profession of faith, or the professions of faith that we saw today, as we enter into that deliverance section out of the Catechism. And to enlighten us in that, we looked at Galatians chapter 1, and I'll be reading from that chapter. I'll read the entire chapter to deal with the issues before us. Galatians chapter 1, amongst all those small letters of Paul, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, just after Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians 1, we read this. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised Him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the church of Galatia, grace to you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we've said before, so now I say it again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you receive, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. For you have heard of my former life in Judaism, how I persecuted the church of God violently and tried to destroy it, and I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, so extremely zealous was I for the traditions of my fathers. But when He who had set me apart before I was born and who called me by His grace was pleased to reveal His Son to me in order that I might preach Him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with anyone, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to visit Cephas, remained with him 15 days. But I saw none of the other apostles except James, the Lord's brother. What I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia. And I was still unknown in person to the churches of Judea that are in Christ. They only were hearing it said, He who used to persecute us is now preaching the faith He once tried to destroy. And they glorified God because of me. We take a moment, having heard from God's Word, to hear the responses that we can gain or give in response to His word from Lord, say 5 and 6. These words, this is on page 12 and 13 in back of the hymnal. According to God's righteous judgment, we deserve punishment both in this world and forever after. How then can we escape this punishment and return to God's favor? God requires that His justice be satisfied. Therefore, the claims of His justice must be paid in full, either by ourselves or by another. Can we pay this debt ourselves? Certainly not. Actually, we increase our guilt every day. Can another creature, any at all, pay this debt for us? No. To begin with, God will not punish another creature for man's guilt. Besides, no mere creature can bear the weight of God's eternal anger against sin and release others from it. What kind of mediator and deliverer should we look for then? Well, He must be truly human and truly righteous, yet more powerful than all creatures. That is, He must also be true God. Well, why must He be truly human and truly righteous? God's justice demands it. Man has sinned, man must pay for his sin. But a sinner cannot pay for others. Why must He also be true God? So that by the power of His divinity, He might bear the weight of God's anger in His humanity and earn for us and restore to us righteousness and life. And who is this mediator? True God and at the same time truly human and truly righteous. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who has given us, was given us to set us completely free and to make us right with God. How do you come to know this? The Holy Gospel tells me. God Himself began to reveal the Gospel already in paradise. Later He proclaimed it by the Holy Patriarchs and Prophets and portrayed it by the sacrifices and other ceremonies of the law. Finally, He fulfilled it through His own dear Son. Indeed, may God's Word be a blessing to us this morning. Congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I can remember when I was a boy and going out on cadet outings. And one time, as I was out on one, I was walking on a trail and I slipped off that trail and I landed on a ledge off the edge of the cliff. And it was that stereotypical picture that you might be able to envision in your mind. I was too far up to be able to jump down to the bottom, but I was too far down to be able to climb up to the top. And I thought I was going to be there forever. And I cried out for help. And somebody amongst the cadet crew came from above. And he reached down. He said, "Grab my arm." And I did. And he pulled me up. It wasn't quite as, boys and girls might be thinking, well, you're a pretty big guy. How did they pull you up? But I wasn't that big a guy at the time. And so it was rather, I guess, easy for them to pull me up. But I thought I was going to be stuck there forever. But I was able to find escape from what seemed to be an impossible situation. But that was the only way I was going to escape. And in a very real sense, that ledge is where a lot of people are today. Every person on this planet finds themselves in that spiritual predicament left to themselves. Nothing in one's own power is going to provide the escape from God's wrath except the one who came from above, who's Jesus Christ, true God, true man, truly righteous. And that's the good news. That's the gospel of God and His Christ. It's the only means of escape from the wrath of God. And that's what these young men profess today. They profess their faith in Christ. The gospel of Christ was preached to them. The gospel of Christ has been nurtured in their lives, and by God's grace, they come to this day where they profess that very Christ who's been preached. That very gospel. That gospel is the only escape for a miserable humanity which continues to look for some sort of gospel for life, but we'll only find it in Christ, who's the focus of the gospel. And really, in a sense, He's always been that focus and the only means of spiritual escape. And in one important way, it's the only good news for humanity that humanity can find. That's why we say our only comfort in life and in death is that we're not our own, but that we belong to Christ. Thanks to God, there's always been gospel. There's always been good news. And thanks to God, there is still that gospel for people who need it and who would otherwise look for other gospels, which, like Paul would say, in essence, are no gospels at all. And so we reflect a moment again this morning on God's gospel for a miserable humanity focused on Christ and the only gospel ever. So first of all, that the gospel of God is for a miserable humanity. The misery of which we speak here is, of course, of the spiritual variety. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, like anybody, can be miserable in the physical sense because such is the age in which we live. It's the present evil age, like Paul would put it. But the spiritual misery spoken about here in the Catechism reflects with a little bit more focus on the present evil age to which Paul is referring, as the evil of men spiritually keeps them from keeps them in a miserable condition spiritually of enmity with God, unable to be able to change out of that misery in their own strength or by way of any other creature or any other human being. And the Catechism's right biblically that in this misery we add to this debt of sin every day. Even as believers with new hearts by the Spirit of God, we find ourselves sinning every day because we haven't reached the age of glory as of yet. We live in this present evil age. The imperfection of our lives continues even as justified Christians hear the call to live sanctified lives. None of us loves like we should perfectly. And that's just not somebody else's problem, which is always the easy thing to do, isn't it? It's to see everybody else's problem. But that's our problem too, if we're honest with ourselves. And what makes things worse is that if we take the attitude that somehow we can pay God back for that, we can pay God back for the wrongs that we've done, well, we're deceiving ourselves. We cannot. Different gospels, which are no gospels at all, might seek to convince us, though, that is the good news, that we can pay the debt back ourselves to God somehow, but we're in no condition to do it because we're born sinners and we are sinners. No mere creature can remove that misery. Bulls and goats and sacrifice can't help because they're not humans. And mere humans can't help because they sin like the rest of us. Just as unrighteous and unloving as we are, left to ourselves. Which means they're unable and they're unwilling to help us before a righteous God who demands perfection and deserves it. And who could bear the weight of God's eternal wrath anyway? Who has such power save for God alone? So we can't provide that kind of a gospel, that kind of a good news that's going to bring us out of our misery. It has to come from above. And Paul would say that the gospel that he preaches, you see, is not from man. It's not man's gospel. It's God's gospel. And that there is but one gospel, God's gospel. But that there is one, and one alone, hasn't kept people from trying to come up with a multitude of others. Some of those gospels are like Paul sees the Galatians tempted to fall into, as he says to them, "I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel." Not that there is another one, but they're tempted to do that, where somebody's going to add to the work of Jesus Christ. It's Jesus Christ plus, right? We might have mentioned that before. Sometimes, you know, you go into a gas station and you see a gas pump and it says unleaded, but then there's unleaded plus. Well, why wouldn't I get that? That's better. So with Jesus, Jesus plus. Where it would seem that more is more when more is less. It's Jesus in keeping the Old Testament feast days. It's Jesus in circumcision. It's Jesus in works. It's Jesus, and add to it what you want. Gospels that aren't gospels. But we do more of that. Sometimes it's less than Jesus. It's not Jesus at all. Gospels are political candidates. It's having your own way. It's politically correct inclusion or tolerance or equality or social justice as defined by man. Man's idea of these things. Gospel is formal religion where the object of the religion is to do what needs to be done to reach the object of the religion. Maybe it's just to feel good or to please the gods. Or the gospel could be athletic victory. Or dying with the most toys. Or getting the best clothes. Or having the most success. Or the things that they have been dreaming all their lives, they finally get. Gospels are many. But they're all different from the gospel of God. None of them can provide what miserable mankind needs. Somebody who can satisfy the wrath of God for them, so that they can return to the favor of God, because that's where you need to be. Being under His favor in this wild and this restless sea in which we live. Being under His favor, standing in His grace. That's really the only good news there is. Apart from that favor, nothing matters, you see. Because if God is against us, who can be for us? But the gospel, of course, is that if God is for us, who can be against us? And you and I, you see, are called to appreciate the gospel more than anything else. Anything else. And we only will. We only will. If we understand, if we know what life is without it. Only God can provide this escape. It has to come from above. It's the gospel not from man or through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised Christ from the dead, as our passage says. It's the gospel that's focused on Christ alone. That's who Paul proclaim. I preached Him, he says. I preached the Son. I preached Christ. Why is that? Because Christ is the only one whose makeup can meet the criteria for escape. And that's why Christ is the one that Paul preaches. And why, when any other person is the focus of preaching, such preaching isn't gospel at all. And Paul says that the gospel that he preaches isn't from man, but was received from God through a revelation of Jesus Christ. It was God who set Paul apart to preach the gospel of Christ. It was God who called him by grace, he says. It was God who revealed His Son to him as the subject of this gospel, the risen and reigning and redeeming Lord Jesus Christ. It was, in fact, Jesus Christ who is the one who gave Himself for our sins. See, this is the focus of the gospel. It focuses on Christ to deliver us from the present evil age according to God's will to His glory. That's God's gospel. That's the gospel that Paul preaches. It was the right gospel to preach. It was the only gospel to preach. And as Jesus displays Himself to be like us as He needs to be and different from us as He needs to be, that's the gospel that needed to be preached. He's like us because He's true man, which is what He needs to be, because it's man that sinned, and it's man that has to pay the penalty for sin. 1 Timothy 2 says, that there is one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. That true humanity takes care of one of the criteria for spiritual escape. But the other two are the ways that he's not like us. Unlike us, he's completely without sin, the Holy One of Israel that way. He who is without sin becomes sin for us. And he was like us in every way humanly, yet without sin, which makes him different from us. He needs to be like us, he needs to be different. We need a Savior who's like us, who can love us as his neighbor according to the law of God. But we need a Savior who is unlike us by loving us perfectly according to the law of God in acts of obedience. And nobody can love us perfectly like Jesus can. And when we come to know him, that continues to be so. Yet as the pure Lamb of God who shows us the ultimate love by giving of himself for our sins to deliver us from the spiritual misery associated with this present evil age, he also has to be different from us by having the power to bear the eternal wrath of God for us by being true God himself. And the believer confesses with all who rest on Christ, the Lord has laid on his unique Son the iniquity of us all. Nobody else can bear this weight but God. Throughout the history of this world, there is no other person who meets this criteria for escape. True man, true God, truly righteous. You and I don't meet it. No other person has met it. Nothing else has met it. And that's why apart from him, there isn't any gospel. There isn't any good news, because there's only one person like this. There's only one person that could claim to be like this and have his claims be so. But with him, there is that good news. The law is not the gospel. You know, when it says what it says in our catechism, how do you come to know all this? It isn't the law. Because the law just makes us miserable. Because it shows us what we aren't. But the gospel shows us what Christ is and was for us. Your favorite toys aren't the gospel. Your favorite candidate is not the gospel. Your favorite team isn't the gospel. Your favorite family member. Your friends, your hobbies, your nationality, your color, your country, they're not the gospel. The gospel, the only gospel, God's gospel, finds its focus on one person. And that's Christ, in whom we all need to find our only comfort in life and in death, as the only faithful Savior there is. The gospel focuses on Christ. And if we want good news in our lives, if we want gospel, then our lives need to focus on Christ. And though it's been tempting for people to think that this gospel is a relatively new matter and to think that something has to be added to comfort in our day and age besides this gospel, we get reminded in the Word, and we confess, therefore, as a church, that this has been the gospel word all along, always will be, and that we cannot add anything to it. You know, some people like to stereotype and say, well, when before Christ came, well, then the focus was on the law to be saved. And that in the New Testament times, well, we focus on Christ and faith, but nothing could be farther from the truth. The gospel, and therefore the mercy of God, has been around since the time that man plunged himself into misery. And that's consoling to know that the gospel and the mercy of God has been around that long. As long as there's been a sinful humanity, there's been God's gospel. It was there in paradise when God said that he would put enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. It was there during the covenant of grace revealed to Abraham that from his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed and not cursed. The ceremonial laws of Moses, pointed to the need for Christ to come. The blood of bulls and goats cried for the Savior to come. Even the kings of Israel and Judah cried for a true king for his people, a righteous king who would deliver his people, and they got it in Christ in the fullness of time. And that's why we rejoice in the birth of Christ so, the good news of great joy that has come on those on whom God's favor rests, because a Savior has been born to you. Jesus is the fulfillment of that gospel, always proclaimed in the days of old. He's the ultimate revelation of the gospel. He's all that the Old Testament shadows and figures were not. And He is all that all of us have not been. Nothing else can be added. Nothing else is needed. Yet, in our day, we're tempted to add to that fullness, that sufficiency. And we're still tempted in today's church to add to Christ and His gospel because the gospel seems boring. And we've lost oftentimes the amazing element of amazing grace. And so the gospel isn't good enough. It isn't enough to spark our praise. The gospel needs further revelation. We need a tongue. We need a miracle. We need to add to the gospel because hearing the gospel is just not comforting enough. Hearing the gospel of our Savior is insufficient. We need something to spice it up. We need spectacle. We need show. We need pageantry. We need pomp. We need circumstance. We need splash. We need glitter. We need glam. We need glamorous effects. We need something more than the gospel to be spiritually at rest. We need more than the gospel to move us to praise and to excite us, because the gospel just doesn't do it. Jesus isn't enough, and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ isn't enough to bring happiness to our souls. Is the gospel enough for you? Do you feel like you need some sort of spiritual stimulant besides? You need a tongue, a miracle, something that you can see that will charge your spiritual batteries under the praise of God? Or is the gospel that speaks about the perfect and amazing love of Christ enough for you? Now, it's tempting to please man with a different gospel. Paul says that if he was still trying to please man like he used to, he wouldn't be a servant of Christ. Paul wasn't trying to please people anymore. He wanted to please God and His Christ whom he served. And the way he did that was to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because that gospel is the only way that we can know comfort in life and in death. And there isn't any other gospel. And there's nothing that we can add to make it better. There's no cherry on top. You know, there's no seasoning salt to sprinkle on it. You can't improve on the gospel that focuses on Jesus Christ, who's true man, true God, and truly righteous. What else can you add to that? There's no gospel apart from that. There's no gospel apart from Him. And there's no gospel that tries to add to Him. May Jesus Christ truly be enough gospel for us in our lives. He better be. Because there's no other escape from our spiritual misery than in His gospel. And that's why we're to profess Christ for that escape. That's why we praise Him for that escape. That's why we serve Him gratefully for the escape that only His gospel can give. Amen. Let's take a moment to respond in prayer, shall we? Father, we are glad for the amazing grace of the gospel that delivers us from what would otherwise be an impossible escape. We're grateful for that rescue from above. And we're glad that we can find it focused on the marvelous person that Jesus Christ is. Apostle Paul came to understand that by grace long ago. And that's what he proclaimed unto your glory. And we would pray for all of us, Father, that if we're looking for good news in this world, for our lives, oh, Father, that we would dwell, spiritualize faith upon the one who provides it. True man, true God, truly righteous, redeeming, reigning, risen Savior that Jesus Christ is, so that we might profess Christ and we would take joy in praising Him and living for Him as well as the focus of our lives. Focus. The only good news there is, ultimately, our only comfort in life and in death. May you hear us, Father, as we petition these things and accept our thanksgiving for Jesus' sake.